God is doing some incredible things at Christ's Legacy. I'm excited to be a part of all of it, and I know that you are too. Today, I want to come in and talk about how God is really choosing to build his church. This is last Sunday, you guys weren't able to make it in because everybody was snowed in, but I am so grateful and thankful that church isn't a building, church is people, and we are still able to have church, amen? But we did a one-off last Sunday. This Sunday, I'm coming to you to finish up our series called Built Different. And today we're going to be talking about purpose on purpose, living purpose on purpose. And I don't know about you, but growing up, I wanted to do all sorts of different jobs. I mean, there was a time where I wanted to be a firefighter. Anybody ever want to be a firefighter before? Come on, I know you guys, you men out there, every one of you probably still secretly in your heart want to be a firefighter. Come on, if you've ever wanted to be a firefighter, raise your hand. Come on, let me see it. Yeah, there it is. All right. If you've ever thought that you could run the United States better than anybody else and you wanted to be the president of the United States, raise your hand. Growing up, that's right. Yeah, you can sit down, sir. Listen, there has been moments in my life where I have wanted to be various things, like an astronaut. My son the other day just told me that he wanted to be an astronaut. I was ready for him to move out into outer space. But there was one time in my life that I wanted to do something, and I told my parents what I wanted to do, and it kind of shocked them. It took them by surprise. It was different than all those other things. It was kind of one of those things where you say this to your parent, and your parent goes, oh, okay, and they kind of cross their fingers and pray it never happens. Because I wanted to be a short order cook at Waffle House. Come on, it's fun. If you think about it, it's probably one of the best jobs in the world. Okay, here's how it happened. My mom and dad, they took me to a Waffle House, and instead of having to sit in one of the booths, I got to sit right up on the counter. And if you've ever been to Waffle House, you know what I'm saying. At the counter, you get to watch them make your food. And let me tell you something. It was magic that day. There are two guys working the grills. They had spatulas. They were just using all the ingredients that they always do and the ingredients that we had at our house. But man, they were smooth with it. They were precise. They were moving as a team. They were laughing and they were joking. I mean, it took them like 5 minutes to do something that it takes me like an hour and a half and do it worse. It was fast, it was fun, they were joyful, and the product that they gave us a meal that was just awesome. I have some amazing memories at Waffle House. Ever since then, I've loved Waffle. We are not endorsed by Waffle House. Okay, we're not? If Waffle House wants to send us a contribution, that would be fine, we would accept it. But I've got some great memories at Waffle House because I love it. But I will tell you this. God did not see fit for me to be a short order cook, okay? Let's be honest. The world's not ready for my culinary skills. But God did give me a purpose in my life, and I have the same joy working that purpose that those guys had. As a pastor, I get, instead of to stand behind a grill, I stand behind a pulpit, but the joy is expressed the same way, that I love to serve. And can I be honest with you? I believe that God did not just call those Waffle House cooks or me to have joy, but he called all of God's body to have joy in the way that they served him. And he's called us to live with a purpose in our life. But if we're going to be really honest with ourselves, everybody wants to live with purpose. If you want to live with a purpose, raise your hand. Everybody. Everybody wants to live with a purpose, but purpose is not something that we assign ourselves. The Bible tells us that purpose is assigned to us by God. God is the one that gives us a purpose. When we come to him in faith, we ask him to come into our hearts, to change our hearts, to renew us from the inside out, to create us from the inside out, to transform us from the inside out, and we live with a purpose for him. And his purpose never occurs in isolation, but it occurs within the body of Christ. It takes relationships to live in purpose. But But not everybody lives with purpose in their hearts, not even every believer. And it's not because we're bad people. It's also just because life is busy and things happen and we kind of get scared sometimes or we look at everything that we have and we're driven by all these different competing pressures in our life. And ultimately, we kind of start thinking that purpose is like for like the super spiritual people, you know, like the pastors and the missionaries and like the expert hospitality team that stands at the front doors, you know, not the B team that's in the back. No, I'm just joking. We don't have B team hospitality people. We don't. You're laughing, but anyway. Purpose is for everybody. And the problem is this, is that as we choose to try to live out our purpose, and we start looking around, we're like, I don't see where I fit anywhere. And then you just don't fit, and so you start thinking to yourself that purpose is optional. And then you start making excuses as that, well, listen, I haven't found my spot, but when I find my spot, I'll serve her. Or I'm really busy right now, or I'm doing this over here and I just don't have enough time right now. Or you know, I'm praying and I'm waiting for God to tell me what my purpose is. And like the heavens haven't opened up and I haven't heard a voice out of the sky and a dove hasn't landed on my head. So I'm not ready to serve the church. And if we're honest with ourselves, it's easy to allow those excuses to come up inside of our life instead of actually engaging and serving other people through the church, through the body of Christ. But can I tell you something? That today I want to give you an opportunity to respond to this message, to serve Jesus by serving the church. And it's not out of obligation, but it's out of joy. And it's not to pressure you to do something. It's to accept an invitation that Christ himself has given to us so that we can open up our hearts and our lives and say, and this is the response today that I believe that the Lord is looking for our hearts. I believe the Lord would have us respond in this message like this. Lord, whatever you want from me, you've got it. It's that simple. Whatever you want, Lord, I'll do. And so if we can come to him and we listen to this message, my prayer for you this morning is that as I speak, as I preach, that the Holy Spirit places something on your heart where you can help and you can serve and you can feel like you belong. Because I believe that belonging isn't just a feeling. Belonging is an action. Belonging is part of being a body. And belonging is how we are all created to experience that life that God has for us. Amen? So if the tension that we feel is real right now, and I know it is, then the next question matters. Is the tension that we're experiencing about serving the church from our culture, or is it from Christ? Is it just pressure to be more and do more, or is it actually how the Christian life was designed to work? And that's why I always like to go to the scripture, because scripture will always bring clarity to any confusion that we have. So in just a moment, we're going to turn to the scripture to kind of understand what it is that God is actually calling his body to do. And I want you to know that the scripture is the thing that helps us understand the purpose in which we are to live. It's how we receive what God exactly wants for us. In other words, purpose has a pattern. And that pattern in our lives always begins, are you ready for this? That pattern always begins through transformation. Transformation. Some people think that the transformation that they witnessed here is that moment where that's the finish line. That's it. They did it. Congratulations. But the reality is that's the starting line. That's the beginning of life. And that there's more to what we've been called to as Christians. And that whenever the Lord comes and saves us and transforms us, he doesn't transform us just to transform the way that we think, but he transforms us so that we can begin to live differently. That we can begin to operate differently, that we can be able to serve in a new and exciting way. And so before we talk about how we're called to serve, we need to go to the scripture to understand that serving Christ is not a personality trait. Serving Christ is not just a spiritual upgrade. It's not just extra that super spiritual people do. This is a natural outpouring of something that God has done inside of us as a sign of gratitude that we're grateful that he's done something in us. That's why we serve. Number one, I want to tell you that we are built to be sent. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're built to be sent. One of the most common misunderstandings about following Jesus is the idea that transformation, that's it. But it's not the finality, it's the beginning. And that's why something feels off when we fail to try to serve, or when we fail at trying to fit in. Because God didn't design us just to try to fit in. The Bible tells us that he actually placed us in the body. Like specifically you, he knew you, and he took you and he formed you, he transformed you in your life, and he lovingly inserted you into this church or into the body of Christ, wherever you might be, so that you could do exactly what he's called you to do with those exact people. It's not like a personality test. It's not just try a few things, see how it works out. It's specific to you. Romans chapter 12, starting in verse 1, we see Paul, he's writing to a church in Rome. And these people are already believers. And there's so many people there, and they're so diverse, but they also have differences in the way that they think and they experience Christ. And so instead of trying to tell them exactly what they're supposed to do, he gave them a picture. And I want to give you the same picture this morning. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a, what? Living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is the true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Wow. You know, so many times in my office, people come back and they're really struggling in their heart and their life because they're like, Pastor John, I don't know what God's will is. I'm praying about it. I don't know what to do. And can I tell you something? That God's will is not designed to be mysterious or mystical. He wants you to know exactly what his will is for your life. How cruel would it be to serve a God and be like, God, tell me what you want. And God to say, not yet. Why not, God? I really want to serve you. Because you're not crying enough yet. Well, God, what can I do to get you to tell me what you want? I don't know yet. That's not what God is doing at all. That's not a loving father. If my kids come to me and they say, hey, what do you want me to do, Dad? Praise God, I'm about to tell them. But can I tell you the reason and the way that he tells us is often through the opportunities in front of us. And we're motivated to serve him because of what he's done for us. Let me show you in scripture why I know that to be true. In Romans chapter 1, through chapter 11, Paul writes this beautiful theology as to what Christ actually does in our lives. He saved us. He pulled us out of utter darkness. He put us into everlasting light. He took our feet out of the miry clay. He set us on top of the rock. Praise God. He saved us. He redeemed us. And Paul explains these beautiful principles through those first 11 chapters. But then whenever we get to chapter 12, in the very first verse, in the first word, he says, therefore. Somebody say, therefore. What Paul is saying is, because of everything I just told you for 11 chapters, this is how you respond. Therefore, because of everything that God has done in your life, present your bodies as living sacrifices. And when he told this to the people in Rome, they knew exactly what he was talking about. For us today, it seems a little bit weird. Like living, what? I don't understand that. Okay, that it must mean metaphorical. What is a sacrifice? What is living? No, back then they knew exactly what he was talking about because they still practice the sacrificial system. Paul said, I don't want to see you die. That's not what God has called you to do, is to just give your life up and then the end. He's calling us to be living sacrifices, that we are marched up and we offer our life to him. We give it over willingly and submit ourselves so that we can be holy like him. We give it up to him. We submit ourselves so that we can live through him and he can live through us. They have this picture of that sacrifice being offered to God. And the way they did it is they would take this animal and they would kill the animal. They'd drain out the blood, they'd quarter it, they would put it on the altar and they'd allow it to burn. And they have this picture in their mind whenever he says sacrifices, but he says living sacrifices. Every day we are to submit ourselves. Every day we are to say, not my will, God, but yours be done. Every day we're not supposed to say, what do I want? Or what would make me happy? Can I tell you something? The most depressed people on the face of this earth are the people that are constantly chasing happiness. They're the people that are constantly obsessed with themselves. They're the people that get locked so much inside of their own mind and their own heart, they become selfish, and selfish people are not very happy people. It's just a fact. That's like a universal fact. You go to a secular psychologist, psychiatrist that doesn't believe in God, they will tell you the same thing. Why? Why is that so true? Because God didn't design us to be thinking about ourselves all the time. He designed us for something more, to submit to him so that we could offer ourselves to the Lord for his work in and through our lives. So that's why I want us to understand the order that this transformation occurs in our lives. Transformation doesn't stop at belief. It leads to surrender, and surrender becomes the pathway to living on purpose. That's the pathway to experiencing purpose in your life for the very first time. You might say, Pastor John, I don't know what it means, what it feels like to live with purpose in my life. Can I invite you to do something? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things are going to be added unto you. That's the Bible's encouragement for us. You want to get out of depression? Stop focusing on yourself and focus on him. Surrender to him. You want to find your place? Stop worrying about where to find your place and just go find a problem and fix the problem for somebody else. That's a really good way to find your purpose, is finding a problem that you saw and going and fixing it. That's the purpose that God gives us so many of the times. Why do I know this? Is because most of the time, the invitation that we're looking for to serve is not by God parting the skies and speaking or yelling at us to say, hey, go do that. Most of the time, the invitation comes with a problem that's presented to us. Man, we're short greeters. We need somebody to have greeters. We're short, can I tell you, we're short a nursery staff right now at Christ Legacy? Oh yeah, I got the nursery coordinator and her husband in here. Oh my goodness, they gave me an amen. Can I tell you something? Well, you wanna see them get saved and baptized all over again? Volunteer for the nursery. Love the little kids. Can I tell you, Jesus loves the little children of the world? I want to invite you, go and serve the nursery. There's so many opportunities when you see that, you look around and you see the challenge, you say, man, somebody ought to do something about that. That's Jesus speaking to you through the Holy Spirit, saying, that's me. That's me. Lord, whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. I believe that Lord needs to speak to some of us today, not so that we can be better as a church, but so that we can be obedient as a church. Because our purpose is found in relationship and serving others. If transformation begins with offering ourselves to God, then the question isn't if our lives will be used. The question is actually, how will our lives be used? Because God will use you every single time that you come to him and say, Lord, I'm willing to serve you. If you believe that, say amen. If you don't, just hang on because I got two more points. Next, we are built to belong. Turn to somebody and say, built to belong. One of the subtle lies of our culture is to try to sell you this idea that belonging is optional. Especially in the West, we think of ourselves as independent and strong and gritty, and we're able to go out into the wilderness by ourselves and build these beautiful houses. I love watching YouTube videos like that. It's awesome. But can I tell you, life is really hard when you try to do that. Matter of fact, we weren't created to do that at all. We were created to live inside of community. And if you want evidence for that, when God came and he saved us, he didn't just save us as individuals, but God also, every time saved somebody, began to form a people. He formed his people, Israel. And whenever he saved you, he saved you and he began to form you so that he could place you in his church. We are all parts of that same body, the church. That's where our scripture takes us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting in verse 12, we find something very incredible. Paul gives us this picture of what it looks like to belong to the body of Christ. Not just in theory, but a picture to understand how the church works. Starting in verse 12 of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body, so that it is with the body of Christ. Some of us are Jews and some are Gentiles, some are slaves and some are free, but we all have been baptized into what? One body. By one Spirit, and we all share the same Spirit. Yes, the body has many different parts, not just one. If the foot says, I am not part of the body because I'm not the hand, that does not make it any less part of the body. And if the ear says, I am not part of the body because I'm not the eye, would that make it any less part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? This is crazy. It's like Paul is telling us, first of all, it's a crazy concept to begin to think about. It's like, wow, Paul, this is pretty abstract. But then when we start understanding it, we see that the body is so incredible as an analogy to what Christ is really intending for us. If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? Or if the whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything? But our bodies have many parts. And listen to what Paul says next. God has put each part just where he wants it. Just where he wants it. I am so excited to share this with you because God hasn't called us to compare. He hasn't called us to compete with one another. He's called us to connect with one another. To connect inside of his body and start functioning as he's called us to function so that his body can actually do something. Can I tell you something? That whenever the body of Christ is disconnected, when the body of Christ isn't functioning as one, the church doesn't just operate less than, it functions differently. We begin to do things that we're not designed to do because we're not functioning at full capacity. And God is saying, hey, listen, I want everybody to come on board. I want everybody to understand what I've called them to do. I want everybody to begin to serve the way that I've called them to serve, because it's not about you. It's about all the other people that you need to reach because of what I've given you. I believe that God has given us everything that we need as long as everyone begins to serve the way that they can serve. But when God has given us everything that we need and people don't begin to step up and serve the way they can serve, we begin to see nursery having problems, and we begin to see the worship band having problems, and we begin to see the safety team or the hospitality team. We see the production team that needs like 5 more students to work there. We see all these gaps, all these different places and spaces inside of the ministry of Christ's legacy that need people to plug in so that we can serve and give and love more people. Roll Rangers and Girls Ministry need your help. We got space, we got place, we just need leaders. And God is calling us to meet these needs. What would it be like to answer God's prayer requests? Wow. Let that sink in for a second. We're so busy calling out, God, would you meet my need? And he's calling us, I want you to meet my needs. There's people that I want to love. There's places I want to go. There's a gospel message that needs to be preached. There's little children that need to be loved. And I want you to meet my needs. You can be the answer to God's prayer. You can. Paul didn't say that the church was like a body. He said the church was the body of Christ. The hands, the feet, what Jesus right there, connected to him. But there's two opposite dangers that Paul confronts within the church. The first one is that there are people that have this idea of independence from the body. And then the other side of that is that there's people that feel like they're insignificant in the body. And Paul wants to address both of those, and that's why I want to address both of those to you right now, because first I want to talk to you, if you feel like you can be independent from a body of Christ, now I know you're sitting in church, and this is the amen choir because you showed up today, but there are people, there are Christians that believe that they can be a good Christian outside of a Bible-believing, preaching, loving, serving church. And can I tell you something? That God did not design us to be able to live a good, healthy Christian life outside of the church. We need to belong together. We need to serve together and love together and grow together. Why is that true? How can that be? I want to tell you something. If my kids were sitting in their very clean room, well, that would be an answer to prayer anyway, but if they're sitting in their very clean room and they're just hanging out in there, laying on bed, watching their phone, you know, playing games, you know, playing with their toys very calmly, nothing was wrong with them. They're just doing their thing with the door closed, and the outside of the house, dishes need to be done and floors need to be vacuumed, things need to be put away, laundry needs to be done, all these other things. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to knock on their door, I'm going to open it, I'm going to say, hey, guess what? Daddy has a job for you. Because if you're going to live in this house, how many parents can finish that statement? If you're going to live in this house, then you're going to serve in this house. Because you're part of it, and you need to learn, and you need to give, and you need to serve. And I believe that that's a message that God is putting in front of us today. If you're going to be ministered in this house, then you need to find a place to connect inside of this house, to love, to give, to serve. And it's not just for everybody else, it's also for you, so that you experience the connection. Because can I tell you what joy that you'll experience when you serve God, using the gifts, the talents, the abilities, the treasures that God has given you so that you can bless others. He didn't just give that to you so you can be blessed. He gave it to you so you can begin to bless others with it. So I'm believing that the Spirit of the Lord is speaking that to somebody right now. If you felt like you could just be in the church but not part of it, you can't. It doesn't work like that. Life is so much fuller when you begin to minister. Now, I want to mention those that think that whatever they do doesn't matter, that somehow you're insignificant in the body of Christ, that you're not present enough. And as I was writing this message, I began to think about an incredible video that I saw. A little child, a toddler, had been deaf from the very beginning. From his birth, he was deaf. And the doctor and the nurse was sitting down with the mother and the child in the doctor's office because they had placed a cochlear implant in him, and they were about to switch it on for the very first time. Have you ever seen a video like that? About to switch it on for the very first time. And that child didn't know what was going on. He didn't care. It was just, you know, playing just another day, not hearing anything. And then all of a sudden, the implant switched on. You could tell the moment because there was a jolt. Begin to look around and begin for the very first time to hear. What do you think was going on in that child's mind whenever that child had ears, but they didn't hear, and the mom would try to communicate, and there would be questions about, like, you know, how did you know that was, oh, it's because I can hear, and, you know, all these questions that must be in a child's mind when they look around, they see everybody else hearing, but they don't understand it. They've never experienced it. But in that one moment, everything becomes clear. That child says, why do I even have ears if they don't work? And then all of a sudden, through a miracle, that switch is turned on, and all of a sudden the child is aware and overwhelmed. And the mother begins to cry because the mother speaks to the child. The child begins to cry because first time he hears his mother's voice. First time in the whole life hears his mother's voice. And all of a sudden, having ears finally makes sense. Can I tell you something? You're not insignificant in the body of Christ. Because whenever God uses you, even if it's in a small, small way, for the very first time, it'll make sense, not just to you, but everybody else around you. Because whenever you begin to serve in even the most insignificant, mundane way that you can imagine, everybody's going to stop and say, what is going on? That's beautiful. I can't believe we've gone this long without having that. And that could be you sitting there thinking, nobody cares about what God has given me. No, who cares about what I can do? God does. His body does. And when we turn on one of those forgotten or never experienced senses in this church, all of a sudden it's miraculous. And we'll all begin to celebrate because of what you have done. Not just because of you, but because what God has done through you. That's what we need. We need transformation like that. You matter here at Christ's Legacy. And I want God to use you and to reshape your thinking, not just so that you can think differently, but you can begin to serve differently, and it will bless the entire body. And finally, I want to come to that we are built to build. Somebody say, built to build. One of the best ways to know that God is actually working in us and around us is by seeing the opportunities all around us. An opportunity around us to serve is an invitation by God to step up and to connect. If you don't believe me, watch what Scripture says. We turn to Matthew chapter 9, and we see Jesus there. The reality we can't ignore is this, though, before I get to the passage. Is that God's body doesn't always grow fast enough to meet the needs that are present. Sometimes, another way of saying it is, sometimes the needs almost always outweigh the number of people that are willing to step up and to serve. And Jesus, this is not new. This is not like the 21st century issue. This is a first century issue. This is since the dawn of time, God has never had enough people to step up and engage. He recognized this. And I want to read to you what Jesus himself said. Matthew chapter 9, verse 36 through 38. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion. Somebody say compassion. That's a special word there. In the Greek, this word compassion actually meant like a gut level sense. He was moved with compassion. He felt in the deep guts of who he was that this wasn't right. He was moved with compassion. He had compassion on them because they were confused and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. He said to his disciples, listen to what Jesus said. The harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray. Somebody say pray. To the Lord of the to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest, ask him to send what? A bigger harvest. Ask him to send more resources. Ask him to send us an easier job. Ask us to send a better pastor. Some of y'all have been praying for no. Okay. Ask him to send more workers into the fields. That's Jesus' prayer request. Everywhere he looked, the harvest was plentiful, but the laborers were few. So pray and ask the Lord of the harvest, the one that's in charge of the harvest, to send more workers. He's praying for you to step up and to begin to serve. He calls out the problem. The need is great. The opportunity is real, but the limitation isn't the harvest. It's the number of workers willing to step up into the fields. He doesn't tell his disciples to lower their expectations. He doesn't tell his disciples just to grit it out. He doesn't tell his disciples to do anything but to pray and ask for more workers. This passage isn't a rebuke, it's an invitation to serve him. Jesus is showing his followers to see the world the way that he sees it. Not as challenges everywhere. Not that the darkness is creeping in on the church and we're just here praying and hoping that Jesus comes because we don't know what to do because the world is getting real bad, y'all. It is. But he hadn't called us just to huddle together and wait the storm out. He's called us to go into the fields, to go into the darkness, to go into the hurting, to go into the hopeless and the helpless, to the least, the last, to the lost, and to bring that light, to bring his good news, to bring the gospel, to bring his love, to bring the answer, to serve, to give, to hope, to pray, and to help so that people can find him. Jesus is the answer for the world today. But he needs us to take him there, to reveal Christ in those situations, to step up and to begin to engage with what he's called you, what he's gifted you with. Jesus isn't distant from the need. He's meeting the need himself in us, but he's calling us to serve him like he served us. So if Jesus' words are true, and can I tell you they were true then, and if they're true then, they are even more true now. The harvest is ready and people are still searching. Lives are open. They're ready. The compassion of Christ hasn't changed. You know, my prayer is that we see the world through Jesus's tears. And we realize that we are called to be his hands and feet. And this is where that purpose becomes tangible, because purpose is not a theory, it's revealed in the way that we act. So being built to build doesn't mean that we're carrying the whole weight of his mission on our shoulders, and it's not gonna happen unless I do something. It's about us as a church choosing collectively, not just individually, but collectively as a church, that we're going to be obedient, that because of what Jesus has done in us, we're going to love and serve out of joy. We're going to give. We're going to bring, well, exactly what our purpose says. We're going to find God. We're going to give hope. And we're going to do life what? Together. That's what he's called us to do. So this is why it matters, not just because it's pressure, but because it's an invitation by Christ. So here's the moment where it gets a little bit personal, where you have to respond. And the truth is that everyone will respond today. Because as much as I would hope, much as I would pray, as much as I would encourage, as much as strong as I can preach, some of us are going to respond by standing up and saying, well, that's a good message, and walking out and nothing changed. But then there's going to be some that say, you know what? I'm open and I'm willing to do whatever God's called me to do. And that's the reality. And then that commitment that you make to the Lord right then and there opens you up to a reality that God says, it's time to serve. It's time to give. As a matter of fact, I want you guys to put something on the screen for me really quickly. This is a job list at Christ Legacy. Where did that job list go? It's coming. It'll come in just a second. But I want to share with you some of the jobs. There it is. Yeah. Join us on a serve team here. Welcome and guest experiences. This is a couple of different. I've kind of grouped. Our team has kind of grouped jobs in categories. And here's 10, 16, 13, 56, 15, 28. These are numbers of not people that are serving there. They're not the total number that we need to serve. It's the gaps that we're currently experiencing as a church. The gaps. Nursery 16. I can see why you said amen to that, Melanie. Next gen, this is kids and youth, 13. We need 13 people. Outreaches and missions, I had them put 56 on the board because we need 56 people this Easter to bring that mission to reality for our community. 15 worship and production. We need people with cameras and with and technology and lights and all the things. Not because we want to look cool, but because we want to present the gospel online. Or so that you can see, and you don't have to have any extra experience. You can do it right now. Because guess what? On the job training, we do that. Groups and care. This is going to be a huge ministry. I want to just take a moment to lay some. I know I'm going long. It's all right. Hold on one second. Let me just tell you something. I believe that there's a reckoning coming, not just in our community, but around the world. And if you don't believe me, look around. If you look at the world like I've seen it, we've seen it recently. We see so much geopolitical change and so much going on, but we also see that very quickly the United States, along with everybody else, is there's so many problems that the governments are trying to solve right now. And I don't know how you feel about government one way or the other. This is not a political speech. This is a observational speech. But there's very few needs that individuals have that are greater than their need for community and belonging. If you're hungry, there's 10 programs out there. If you don't have clothes, there's 10 programs out there. If you need affordable housing, there's programs out there. If you need guidance, if you need help, if you need all these different things, there's tons of programs that would love to serve you, okay? But especially in America, God has called us to do two things. He's called us to preach the gospel and to be his church together. That's it. Everything else is extra on top of that. Everything else is an expression out of those two things to do those two things. And so my encouragement to you is this. Groups and care ministry needs to get so much bigger. We need people willing to step up and to be small group leaders. We need people willing to step up and to love and to serve people. We need people to step up and to do those things, because I believe that very, very soon, one of the only ways, or let me say it like this, one of the best ways to be a minister in our community is to allow people, to invite people to join our community. Because there's no other organization on the face of this earth that shows people how to live in a healthy community. If you don't believe me, look at the world. It's broken, it's falling apart. And the church of God is the thing that's supposed to demonstrate to everybody that we are His, because we're together and we love one another. Showing somebody how we love somebody, how we love each other, is gonna meet so many needs. You heard it. So many people getting baptized up here today said, I am a Christian because when I walked into this place, because when they walked among you, they felt God's presence. There's so many people that need to be invited into our groups, invited to serve, invited to be a part of us, because the very need that they have, besides salvation, is belonging and feeling loved. And then, of course, operations, facilities, administration, safety, all those needs. There's so many needs. And there's even more than we could even put up here. But I want to bring your attention to that, because in just a moment, we're going to sing, we're going to worship, and we're going to be dismissed. But I want you prayerfully to consider, where should you respond? We're going to put a 2-minute countdown on the clock. I want you to pray. I want you to ask the Lord, Lord, you say, I am willing for what you want me. How can I respond to you? I'm willing, whatever you want for my life. So that you do this for the rest of your life, okay? You say, Lord, I'm willing to be a greeter if you want me to, but I do not have the personality to greet. You sign up to be a greeter, we're gonna help you, we're gonna direct you in a different way, okay? We'll help you. But this is not even signing up for anything. This is just saying, I'm willing. I wanna know more information on how I can serve. If that's you, prayerfully as we worship for just a moment, make that consideration, scan the QR code on the board here, and respond in the way that the Lord would have you. Let's worship together. Now, if you didn't scan the QR code, you'll never be able to serve in the church again. You've missed it. No, I'm just joking. Here's the truth. No matter how big our church gets, there's going to be more and more and more opportunities for us. Here's the thing I love about our church. There are more volunteers in our church, even with our smaller community, than some big churches. Because our people know how to serve. Our people know how to give. And I'm so proud of you. I really am. But I believe this, that God is calling us to do more, to love more, and to give more. And here's another thing I believe. I believe that God is calling each and every one of us to invite people into our church so that they have an opportunity to feel loved and belong as part of the body of Christ, so that they can have joy in serving others too. If you believe that, say amen. Because we're going to help people find God, to give hope, and to do life together. Heavenly Father, I love you and I praise you and I thank you for this congregation and choosing to love and to give and to serve. Choosing to be open and submissive and to say, Lord, how can I serve you? And I pray, God, that today your prayer requests have been answered, Lord Jesus. That there would be even more people that are willing to step up and step into the harvest fields. We give you praise and glory. Now help us, Lord, to go out into the harvest fields, to share your love, your kingdom come, to see your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you. Let's love some others.